Well, let's cross to Washington now, where the last minute touches are being put to the inauguration ceremony tomorrow. Joe Biden will be inaugurated at midday. But Donald Trump has had quite a busy last day in office, hasn't he, Simon Marks?
He has indeed, Ian. I'm going to get to that in a second, because we've got several bits of news breaking here.
Oh, I think Simon Marks might have disappeared there. We'll see if we can get him back on the line as soon as we can, because one of the things that Donald Trump has been doing today is something that we're going to be talking about at 9 o'clock. And he has basically issued a statement today saying that the US government finds that the Chinese government is guilty of genocide towards the Uyghur Muslims. Now, in many ways, this is not something new. A lot of countries have been saying this for some time. Joe Biden has been saying the same thing for some time. Thank goodness I can stop padding now, because Simon Marks is back.
Do you want to keep going for a bit longer?
No.
All right,
no.
Then. Well, I've got lots of breaking news to tell you about, if you'll stop padding. Let's see. First of all, we've learnt within the last couple of minutes that 12 members of the National Guard have now been relieved of their duties at the inauguration tomorrow because of suspected ties to extremists. We knew the number stood at 2 a little bit earlier in the day, but now, apparently, according to the Pentagon, as many as a dozen members of that phalanx of more than 20,000 troops are being relieved from duty over concerns that they may not necessarily have the best interests of the inauguration at heart when they take to the streets of the country. We've also learnt within the last few minutes that the death toll in the United States from COVID-19 has officially now risen above 400,000. All of that taking place, of course, on the last full day in office of President Donald Trump. And Joe Biden is on his way to Washington from Delaware, rather curiously, flying here aboard a private jet. It is not clear why he has not been afforded the opportunity, or maybe he's turned down the opportunity, to fly on board an Air Force plane, as would normally be the case. Before he left Delaware, Joe Biden, with tears streaming down his face, said goodbye to the state and to his supporters there.
It's kind of emotional for me.
The president-elect thanking supporters in his home state and weeping publicly as he spoke of his late son, Beau Biden, the state's former attorney general.
When I die, Delaware will be written on my heart. And the hearts of all of us, all the Bidens. And I am even more proud to be standing here doing this from the Major Beau Biden facility. Ladies and gentlemen, I only have one regret. He's not here, because we should be introducing him as president. But we have great opportunities. Delaware's taught us anything's possible. Anything's possible in this country. So God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you.
That is not quite the last time we will see Joe Biden as president-elect. He and Kamala Harris will, as soon as they arrive in Washington, participate in a ceremony to light up the reflecting pool at the foot of the Lincoln Memorial to honour the 400,000 dead in the COVID-19 pandemic here. He will spend the night at Blair House, directly opposite the White House, where President Trump will be spending his last night. The president, busy working on pardons and commutations, reportedly about to release a video delineating his accomplishments in office. He could, if he wanted to, literally walk across the street to welcome the Bidens to town. There is no indication that is going to happen, but who knows whether the Trumps will be gripped by a last-minute sense of decency and a desire to honour the country's democratic traditions.
In the midst of hardship, we have seen the best of America shine through.
That is Melania Trump's farewell to the country. It comes in the form of a 7-minute video extolling the virtues of her Be Best campaign to improve civil discourse and public behaviour in America.
Be passionate in everything you do, but always remember that violence is never the answer and will never be justified.
A glancing reference there to the events of 13 days ago when an armed mob of her husband's conspiracy theorists stormed the Capitol building. Today, inside the Capitol building, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, made his break with Donald Trump final.
The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people. And they tried to use fear and violence to stop a specific proceeding of the first branch of the federal government, which they did not like.
That, of course, the affirmation of Joe Biden's election victory. In a final snub, neither Senator McConnell nor even Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House of Representatives, will be at President Trump's send-off tomorrow morning when he and the First Lady skip town, shirking their responsibilities at the inauguration. Even Vice President Mike Pence won't be at Andrews Air Force Base, another Republican beyond eager to see the back of the president he has slavishly served. As for Donald Trump's immediate future, Charles Schumer, the Democrat now running things in the Senate, laid it out this morning.
Let me be clear. There will be an impeachment trial in the United States Senate. There will be a vote on convicting the president for high crimes and misdemeanors. And if the president is convicted, there will be a vote on barring him from running again.
The president needs a lawyer, and so far he hasn't found one. The other big news of the day, the man who is spending his last full day as Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, has officially accused China of genocide against the Muslim Uyghurs in Xinjiang. It is one of many attempts here to tie the Biden administration's hands on a whole raft of policy areas, and it will enrage Beijing, coming as it does at the end of a very long tweet storm by the Secretary of State, whose fury towards China has never been matched by his anger over anything towards Moscow. It's been 4 years since Ian and I sat side by side in a Washington studio that was not guarded by National Guard troops and listened to the Trump administration get underway.
This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
Well, it turns out even that claim wasn't true, as Joe Biden prepares to deal now with three simultaneous crises: COVID-19, the economic catastrophe besetting the nation, and now a major national security crisis coming from armed and violent supporters of President Trump himself. They assume he will continue to act as their leader from his golf club in Mar-a-Lago, or as he likes to call it, the Southern White House. One thing's for certain, Ian, when the president gets on that plane tomorrow morning with an approval rating of just 29%, a record low, we certainly won't have heard the last of him.
I don't think we'll have heard the last of you, Simon, because tomorrow's going to be a busy day. I think you better get an early night, hadn't you?
Absolutely. No question about it. I shall go and gargle in the wings.
Simon, thank you. That's Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent. Coming up in a moment, schools could reopen region by region, says the Deputy Chief Medical Officer. It's 7:49.
The historic moment of the inauguration is fast approaching.
Tomorrow, Joe Biden will raise his right hand and take the oath of office to become the 46th President of the United States.
I've always believed we can define America in one word. Possibilities.
Join me, Eddie Mayer, for full coverage of an inauguration like no other.
Joe Biden will take the oath of office behind a ring of steel. Washington is now a fortress. I'm Simon Marks with live coverage from the U.S. Capitol.
Don't worry if, like Donald Trump, you won't be at the inauguration. LBC will take you there tomorrow from 4. This is LBC.